Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, 30th of January, the day after the Florida Republican primary.
Florida has always been a special place to me, and it is all the more so tonight. Our victory might not have reached landslide proportions, but it is sweet nonetheless.
John McCain, the winner in the Florida primary yesterday, edging past Mitt Romney in a campaign that was a little bit contentious. And, of course, other big news, former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani leaving the race today, and he was third, and it left Mike Huckabee in the race. He was fourth. Senator Hillary Clinton won the non-binding Democratic primary, not nearly as important here. But, you know, it's just amazing what's happened on this Republican side just in a matter of a few months. With John McCain not very long ago, New York Times today said that it was he was a left-for-dead candidate, and now he is a front-runner. And, of course, the presidential hopes of the man who was supposed to be the Republican nominee not that long ago, Rudy Giuliani, have been dashed, and he's no longer in the race. So let's figure the whole thing out this hour of the program. And we also have breaking news this morning that Senator John Edwards is expected in Louisiana to announce that he is out of the Democratic race as well. So we'll look at that. David Winston is our guest. David is president and founder of the Winston Group. He has worked with national politics and public policy for a long time. He is a consultant. He's done extensive work with political campaigns. Also has served as a senior leadership staff in Congress and as a senior fellow to a prominent Washington think tank. He had a four-year tenure working with former House Republican Conference Chair J.C. Watts and was director of planning for the Speaker of the House, where he paid special attention to education, taxes, Social Security, health care, and technology, et cetera. So he's gonna analyze the whole thing for us today. And you are as well. Join us, 800-486-8655. If you'll like to be in Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050. Hi, David. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Okay. It was good. Sort of an entertaining evening, to say the least.
It sure was. Everything's hopping, isn't it? You know, I must say, when I saw exit polls last night and looked at how many people said the economy was number one, I said, this is Mitt's night, and I was wrong.
I think that was one of the big surprises last night. They had gone head-to-head twice, really, in terms of New Hampshire and in Michigan. In New Hampshire, among the economic voters, McCain had won by 20 points, but in Michigan, Romney seemed to bounce back and won those voters by 13, and it looked like he sort of had an issue area and was on a bit of a roll on that. You go into Florida, where 45% said that that was their top issue, and you see that McCain won those by a pretty sizable margin there, ultimately being 40-32. Mm-hmm. I think the expectation was that Romney was going to win those, and he didn't. Now, that may be a function also you're dealing with, obviously, in Florida, sort of an older electorate. And so the issue, what makes up the economic issue, might be slightly different. But last night's win for McCain was, at 5 points, that's beginning to get away from being close.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought, even though he graciously said, you know, it wasn't a landslide. And I thought he was very nice to Romney last night.
And well, it was very interesting because he was trying to do that with all the candidates. I mean, he had something positive to say about all
yes,
of them.
Yes, yes.
And I think that was very planned in the sense
sure.
that he was thinking through if
right.
he's going to pull this together afterwards.
Exactly,
right.
Exactly, yeah. But it was nice that he did that. So, you know, isn't it weird what happened? It was only a couple months ago that his campaign was just, you know, give up on the guy. He's not going anywhere. And it is obvious today that he is the front runner in the Republican Party.
Well, this is what's different about this, this sort of new media environment with cable driving news stories, with the internet, with podcast, with all this new media. What really is important and is your initial standing to some degree. I mean, if you've got high favorables, high name ID, that is a huge asset. And to some degree, you can keep your campaign going as long as you're part of that news story cycle. Mm-hmm. That's what I think happened to Giuliani. We can come back to that in a second. But and so what happened was McCain was always still in the forefront of people's minds. It was forefront of the news stories, and as a result, the advertising wasn't as important. I would suggest that what's also interesting about this election was money wasn't quite as important as it used to be. Mm. And I think that's actually a pretty good thing.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, we mentioned the economy and everybody saying they were voting on that basis. This was also a closed primary. So McCain does better in states where it's an open primary, and he won a closed primary.
Yeah, although, again, that was things where Romney was potentially cherry-picking some data. For example, if you look at New Hampshire among just registered Republicans, not those who ID'd as Republicans, and the distinction there is if you can ID yourself as a Republican, you might be an independent saying you're leaning Republican, so it might be you might get a different sense of it. But those who are registered, he actually won in New Hampshire. McCain won by a 4-point margin, 37-33. So he had won amongst just a Republican universe before, although granted it was close. Looking at Florida, again, you're having a closed environment. He didn't do that dissimilar than what he did in New Hampshire. So,
mm-hmm. So who's waking up this morning among Republicans, David, and saying, all right, this guy is on his way. I'm happy as I can be about this. And who's saying, oh, brother, I don't even want to vote for him.
I don't know that I would quite type guess it that way. I mean, I think there are people waking up, and there's a lot of clarity to the race where there wasn't before the election yesterday. There's been a longer term group of people who've supported McCain over the years. They're waking up happier. I think what you're likely to see, what's being rumored, is that Giuliani is in fact going to endorse when he drops out today, McCain, and I think what McCain's going to have to be careful to do as he sort of moves forward here is, while sort of staying in the direction he's been going in terms of the sort of center-right candidate, making sure that he says things that the base of the Republican Party is comfortable with. And that's going to be the initial sort of balancing that he's going to have to do.
And so what issues does he need to make the base comfortable with?
Well, I think to some degree, the one area where the base is sort of immediately comfortable with him, he just needs to make sure that he reiterates it, is his whole direction in terms of the war on terror.
Mm-hmm.
More so than any other candidate, he was tied to being, effectively engaged in Iraq, although McCain would argue that he was for a strategy change well before Bush actually implemented one. But that direction in that sense is an area where I think the base is comfortable with him. To some degree, that's what the base has been comfortable with in terms of Giuliani, despite all the social issues. His strong stand on terror had allowed him to sustain some level of support for a while.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that's hard to believe, and please tell me what happened, is he was the GOP front runner for a long time, Giuliani, and now he will probably endorse McCain today. What happened to him? Did he decide he really didn't want to be president and staked everything on Florida, or was ill-advised that was the way to go? What happened?
This is an example of where a campaign and the campaign staff and strategists missed the fundamental interaction between what was going in terms of the political debate and the electorate.
Mm.
It wasn't so much that he said, my big sort of break is going to be in Florida, that's where I'm going to focus. It's the way they structured, they took him out of all the other races. So what happened was, over this time period, beginning of January, he wasn't a part of this discussion at all.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, why you heard, Romney and McCain going back and forth and was constantly on cable, watching those exchanges, because they were talking about what's going to happen in New Hampshire, well then Giuliani wasn't a part of that. Or what's going to happen in South Carolina? Well, Giuliani wasn't a part of that.
Yes, right.
And so what he did is I think he could have, if he had finished third in New Hampshire, for example, instead of behind Huckabee and made some sort of effort, he would have at least been part of that discourse.
Mm-hmm.
But by not doing that, he just made it very difficult for Florida work. He had been out of the discussion in terms of those two primaries for so long. It was just simply hard to re-engage.
Yeah. So how important, and McCain just was giving him lavish praise last night during his victory statement, how important is Rudy Giuliani's endorsement of his good friend John McCain?
Well, again, he finished third last night, and so you're picking up the endorsement of somebody who's obviously had a large constituency within the party, and so it's a big deal. I think that will certainly help John McCain quite a bit with those voters. And again, they probably tend to be the more centrist part of the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, what you're watching here is McCain slowly putting together and patchworking together a majority within the Republican side.
Mm-hmm. And what is it, if anything, Romney can do to break through on February 5th?
Well, Romney has had two phases to his campaign. The first phase met with no success, and that was where he basically went after pretty hard, after Huckabee first, very hard in Iowa, and McCain very hard in New Hampshire, sort of attacking, and that clearly didn't work. And that was his original strategy, was to win Iowa, New Hampshire, and that would sort of slingshot him into the lead for the Republican nomination, and he lost in both. Then he went to Michigan, kind of home state advantage there, but nonetheless, it sort of generated a more positive message, and that worked for him. He ended up winning Michigan and doing pretty well. He bypasses South Carolina, goes into Florida, and this is what we're talking in the lead here. Given the fact that the economy was going to be the lead issue, the expectation was that would be good for Romney, and he didn't do it. And I think to some degree, he's got to figure out a clearer, stronger economic message than he's been able to deliver. But quite frankly, the equilibrium right now favors McCain, and he's got to figure out some way to change that equilibrium. Having already been negative once, he's got to find some other way to do it. I mean, he's facing a pretty difficult situation. Not an undoable situation, but it's difficult.
Mm-hmm. So it's not insurmountable.
No, it's not insurmountable, but it's definitely trending away from him. And he's, and like I said, the equilibrium that's now established, if this is the way it stayed, McCain would win.
Yeah, what if Huckabee dropped out? Not that that's going to happen. Would that significantly help Romney?
Probably. I mean, Huckabee's folks, when I took a look at evangelicals last night, what was interesting was that they were evenly split amongst Huckabee, Romney, and McCain. So it's not as clear that would advantage Romney. When you take a look, however, in terms of the group that he got, the very conservative, Romney did better amongst those people, said very conservative as opposed to somewhat conservative, where McCain won. And so within that group of Huckabee supporters, that would break Romney toward Romney. But in terms of the overall evangelicals, it was relatively evenly distributed between Romney, Huckabee, and McCain.
Mm-hmm. We've been hearing, although you want to discount these people because everybody's been so wrong about everything, David, but we've been hearing that McCain is really respected by many people in this country, be they independents or Republicans or Democrats, and that he really is the strongest candidate against any of the Democratic possible nominees. Do you think so?
Rather than guessing, I'll give you two polls. Wall Street Journal, NBC Wall Street Journal did a poll middle of last week where of the four Republican candidates at that time, Giuliani, Huckabee, McCain, and Romney, everybody except McCain trailed Hillary Clinton by about 10 points, somewhere in the neighborhood, and McCain was virtually even.
Mm-hmm.
And that's consistent with other surveys that I've seen as well.
Mm-hmm.
Of the group, and I believe McCain actually was running that as an ad, as part of an ad at the very end.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, and so he is clearly focused on that, and I've seen that in other surveys as well, that of the group, he tends to match up better against them. So actually, I think there's a new Rasmussen poll that just came out today that showed that McCain was leading both Obama and Clinton. Now, having said that, he came off of a really good night,
mm-hmm.
and so he's likely to get a bounce against whoever the Dems are. But nonetheless, that gives you a sense of he's got some strength against either one of them.
Mm-hmm. And what I've talked to a number of very conservative Republicans who really don't like this guy. I mean, and I don't understand the depth of the animosity. Can you explain it to me?
Well, there was a frustration over two specific items. Two specific items, and then there might be a third. The two specific items were, one, the Feingold bill, the campaign finance That one probably is more inside baseball within sort of the political operative world than anything else. But nonetheless, it created some negative responses because you had a lot of conservative groups who felt that their ability to impact things politically were limited by McCain-Feingold, which was the campaign finance reform bill. The bigger one was the immigration bill, and there was a lot of frustration around that. Again, in that particular case, it was McCain-Kennedy. So obviously the connection to Kennedy and Feingold as your two major pieces of legislation probably doesn't sit real well with conservatives. That one was a little bit more complicated, and you've heard McCain specifically address that by using the phrase, you know, I've heard and listened, and we're going to focus on border security first. That's a direct outgrowth of that. The third element, prior to the change in strategy in Iraq, McCain was being relatively critical of the administration's handling of it, saying that he thought there were not enough troops on the ground, being pretty tough with the president on that in terms of what were they doing. And so that one has also been a component. Now, obviously, since the strategy changed and things, at least militarily, seem to be improving on the ground there, that has sort of dropped off the radar screen as a point of discussion in terms of conservatives. But at the time, there was clearly some dissatisfaction with his sort of taking on the president.
Right. And yet, when you look at the success, at least so far, of somebody like Barack Obama, there does seem to be, David, a hunger in this country to break this bipartisanship so that people would look at somebody like McCain as, we like the fact that he's not predictable on every issue, that maybe he wants to reach out here and reach some kind of compromise. Isn't that something that a lot of people would embrace, a lot of Republicans would embrace?
I think a lot of the country would embrace.
Yes, right.
I think one of the strongest assets that Obama has, and you sort of watched this in South Carolina, although South Carolina is a state that clearly would favor Obama, the margin was pretty dramatic.
Yes, it was.
And what you're looking at there is this sense of, we just don't like traditional older politics.
We're
so tired of it. And again, look at Romney. Romney in Iowa, New Hampshire, did nothing but in a large degree attacked his opponents and was not rewarded for that. In South Carolina, to a degree, you saw the Clinton camp attack Obama in a particular way, and that wasn't rewarded. I think you're looking at the American public that what they want to hear is, how are you going to bring this country and what are you going to get done?
Yes, right.
And party is important. I mean, if you're a Democrat, you're going to tend to lean to Democrat and Republican, obviously Republican. But what people are really looking for is, how do we move forward from here? And when you're looking at a right track, wrong track, which was basic optimism, pessimism about the direction of the country being as bad as it is now, people are ready for that next step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. David Winston is our guest. We're looking at the result of the Florida Republican primary this hour and talking a little bit about the Democrats, but it was the Republicans' day in Florida. John McCain, the winner here, not by a small amount, you know, 5 points, almost 6 points is pretty good when we had been thought to be a toss-up for such a long period of time. We're welcoming your phone calls as well. Rudy Giuliani dropping out of the race today and throwing his support toward John McCain. What does that mean? Perhaps some of you don't like John McCain, and you can explain some of the animosity that some conservative Republicans have. Or is he the Republicans' best nominee against virtually any Democrat, particularly Hillary Clinton, but all in the Democratic field? Well, now they're only two, because John Edwards is supposed to drop out today, so there are only two. Well, join us as we continue to talk politics, and will for some time. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you are in Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. David Winston is our guest. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Like most Americans, I love competition. I don't back down from a principal fight, but there must always be a larger purpose: justice for an individual, hope for a city, a better future for our country. Elections are about a lot more than just candidates.
Rudy Giuliani, do you know more about when he's expected to give his announcement today, David?
No, my sense is they're sort of putting this together on the fly. I mean, obviously, given the result last night, they did some level of an assessment and sort of laid out where they thought they were going to go. But my guess is they're sort of making it up as they go along here in terms of today.
Yeah. Two phone calls now. Jose from Green Bay. Hi, Jose.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Good. I love your program, and just wanted to call in and comment that I'm most, as a supporter, I tend to be more Democratic. But if McCain will be on the ballot for the presidential, I could see myself voting for him just because, like you guys said, he is a person that he can go either way on some of the issues that are important to me specifically. So I could see myself giving my support to him in the presidential election.
Mm-hmm. David.
Well, I think Jose sort of reflects this feeling that over the past 8 years, maybe 10 years, the sense that people are dogmatic in their approach, or at least that's the way politicians and the media have sort of covered it, that, you know, if you were a Republican, this is the way you thought, and if you were a Democrat, this is the way you thought. And I think what we've been seeing in this particular race is that while Republicans, Democrats, and the electorate hold some ideals and principles, they're not dogmatic about it. And, in fact, they're looking for a candidate who is not dogmatic either. It sort of reflects that value as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jose represents a lot of Americans out there in the sense of they've got ideas, directions, where they want to go, but they want someone that they believe will really look at a problem and really approach it with all the potential available policy options open, just not limiting it to one.
How does McCain get up to speed on the economy? I mean, it's part of his straight shooter rhetoric, which is nice to hear from any politician, except that the country is very concerned about the economy, and he has said publicly that it's not his strong suit. It has to become his strong suit fairly soon, don't you think?
Yes. And I think right now the biggest problem that he faces is clearly articulating, and he's got some policy directions, but he's not done an effective job yet of clearly articulating what his economic positions are. The one element he's focused on is that he'll be tough on spending and that he's looking at lower taxes. That's part of it. I mean, he's got to think through sort of a more comprehensive plan in terms of communicating that. What are the one or two other elements that he's going to introduce into that in terms of how he grows the economy? I don't think he's done that yet. I think you may see that over the next week or so here. But clearly, he's going to have to address that, because when you get to the general election, I mean, forget the rest of the primary. When you're looking at the general election, that is also likely to be the top issue, and he's got to have a clear direction.
Right. Yeah. Thanks, Jose, for your call. Scott from Sturgeon Bay. Hi.
Good morning. I guess my comment is part of the reason I think some of the conservatives have an issue with John McCain is there seems to be some inconsistency there. I mean, people talk about bipartisanship and they want bipartisanship and they like the fact that he doesn't always agree with his party. But from a Republican standpoint, bipartisanship, what is meant in the media is when Republicans agree with Democrats on issues, because it doesn't seem to go both ways. So they look at McCain, who has moved to the left of some core issues. And the thing is, when you have core beliefs, when you have fundamental beliefs in issues, you can't take a middle-of-the-road approach to things, because that's your core belief. And if you can waver on those, you can waver on anything.
And you're talking about what issues are you talking about, Scott?
Well, a perfect one is immigration reform. I mean, that's a big, big issue with the conservatives, is his stance and his policy when it comes to immigration reform, and also campaign finance reform. Just the thought of from a constitutional standpoint, limiting speech, limiting money, limiting the ability to advertise before an election. I mean, there's some core issues there that I know conservatives have a problem with, and it's their perception, at least from my vantage point, that his bipartisanship in general really is, you know, moving to the left of the Republican Party.
David.
Well, first off, in terms of the illegal immigration issue, if you take a look at the results last night, we had one out of six people identify illegal immigration as their top issue. Romney clearly overwhelmingly beat McCain on that issue by a 43-25 margin. And that gets to what Scott was saying in terms of there's just those people who focused on that issue are clearly uncomfortable with McCain. And that's where you heard McCain again come back and say, you know, I get it, I hear it, border security first. Part of the dynamic, and this is always hard, and this is why this transition is so difficult, is that when you begin to talk about how you're going to be bipartisan, as Scott said, both bases immediately hear you're going to back off of our principles. I mean, that's how they translate it. And I think the challenge to somebody like McCain and Obama is how do you say, well, by becoming bipartisan doesn't mean I give up my principles. What it means is however they're going to define it. And that's the challenge of both. It was interesting. When I worked for J.C., J.C. Was always, to a large degree, focused on the middle, again, given his personal background. He came from a voter group that was uniquely unavailable to Republicans, African-Americans. And he would talk about how you grow the party as opposed to sort of being bipartisan in the sense of how do you create a larger majority. That seemed to have a little more acceptance, at least in the way he was able to translate it. But I think the challenge to both Obama and to John McCain here is how do you define bipartisan in such a way that the perception is you're not giving up on basic principles?
Mm-hmm. I understand, and I kind of vaguely remember this, although I do remember that it stood out, that McCain got quite a bit more of the Hispanic vote in Florida than Romney or any of the other candidates.
Oh.
Do you recall that from last night?
Yeah, no, actually it was pretty overwhelming. 12% of the total on the Republican side was Hispanic, and again, there's a large Cuban community down
right.
in Miami.
Yeah.
Of those Hispanic voters, McCain got 54%.
Wow.
Yeah, Giuliani was second at 24, and Ooh. Romney came in at third at 14. So when you're looking at McCain versus Romney, it was 54-14. That was pretty lopsided.
Wow. And he could capitalize on this vote, couldn't he? People talk about the Democrats courting this vote, but the Hispanic vote tends to be somewhat conservative on a lot of social issues and yet concerned about the hatred almost that's coming on this illegal immigration issue. It seems to me as though McCain might be able to attract a number of those voters.
Well, certainly in terms of looking at this exit poll, Hispanic voters clearly the majority of them went for McCain, and so there would be a sense that looking toward this election, a general election, that would certainly suggest that they would be in play. And again, this is where Obama has got an interestingly difficult situation.
Yes, right.
Because what you've seen on the Democrat side is that African-Americans have broken his way, whereas Hispanics, not quite to the same proportion, but pretty closely, have broken Hillary Clinton's way. And one of the things the Democrats have got to manage through their process is not allowing their Hispanic and African-American coalitions to separate.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, we saw in Nevada and a bit in Florida as well. You saw that occur.
Yeah. Let's go. Thanks very much for your call, Scott. We go to another Scott from New Glarus. Hi, Scott.
Good morning. I realize that there were no Democratic delegates awarded because of what's happened previous. But it seems like I guess I'm wondering why the result, the votes that Hillary got, which seemed quite huge number, why that's being so minimized. I mean, they didn't get the delegates, at least for now. They may get them later, or she may. But it seems like it was quite a big result for her, a positive result. Why is that being so minimized?
Well, I think it depends on who's sort of talking about it. I mean, I would agree. I mean, it's a big state, and an outcome's an outcome, whether there were delegates at stake. And she won by a pretty sizable margin here. There are two reasons why it's being downplayed a bit. Obviously, there are no delegates at stake, but because of the fact there are no delegates at stake, the candidates had really not committed to going and campaign hard in the state of Florida. So you're looking at Florida without a lot of direct campaigning. Having said that, the fact is Florida, like everybody else in America, watches cable, and they're watching what the candidates are saying, and they're hearing this discourse, and they are probably as informed as any other state at this point. So I think for Hillary Clinton, Florida was certainly a comforting result, although there weren't any delegates involved. But from my point of view, and again, when you take a look at the mix there, it was a much larger white turnout as a percentage of the overall electorate, about two-thirds, as opposed to what you saw in South Carolina. And that obviously created a little bit more favorable terrain for her. And there was also significantly more Hispanics as well.
Thank you. Scott, unless you had something more, go ahead.
No, that's it. I guess I'd like to see her get a bump out of this, but as far as the media, she's not really getting any.
I think what you're going to see is that what this did, to some degree, it stopped for Hillary Clinton. It stopped the South Carolina story a bit. There's something to sort of bounce off in that, and so I think it'll mitigate the South Carolina outcome a little bit. I don't think, had the delegates been in play and the candidates had been in full force, I think the result of Florida, in terms of the impact, might have been larger. But it's still having an impact because, again, what you're going to hear reporters and people covering it saying, Obama, who won South Carolina, although Hillary Clinton won Florida, I mean, it'll be something like that. So there will be some mitigation there.
Thanks, Scott, for your call. Let's go to Steve from Houston, Texas. Hi, Steve.
Hey, good morning. Good morning to Scott Nuglaris, my old stomping ground. But I just have a couple comments. I following the theme of your program, you know, I think a couple candidates stand out as people that can really bring healing to our country, which I think we need. And I think on the Democratic side, I think Barack Obama can do that, being interracial. And, he wasn't even respected when he ran, when he started his campaign. Ted Kennedy, interestingly enough, who was supporting him, one time commented calling him Osama Obama, kind of as an off-color joke. But now the Democratic establishment is kind of rallying behind him. And I think, quite frankly, I think the reason is that the Clintons have Mrs. Clinton, quite honestly, she has a real caustic kind of character. She comes across about as cold as ice to a lot of men, me being one of them. And a lot of people, for that reason, would just never vote for her because she doesn't bring any kind of unifying element. We need a woman as a president, I would say, but I don't think she's the one. And with Republicans, I would say that I think both John McCain and Romney both have bucked the establishment. I think I got to respect McCain for standing strong with regards to bucking the influence of money in politics. I really respect him for that. And as a former POW, standing with the military, even when it's unpopular, and uniting with McCain to get McCain-Feingold, which I don't agree with all that much, but I think in principle I think it's good. And I think Romney, when he was the governor of Massachusetts, I was reading in the Wall Street Journal that he nominated a lot of Democrats to serve in high-level positions. So he's done a lot of things in Massachusetts that are unpopular with conservatives because he's tried to build bridges, and he's a very capable individual. So I'd like to see my own one of those three become president, because I think either one of them can bring healing to the country.
David.
Well, again, going to the basic direction that the caller was going there, and in terms of really trying to move beyond, what's going to happen next. One of the things that I think some in the media were surprised was the level of attention that people were giving this campaign, and the reason is because they're ready. When you have a right track, wrong track, it's as difficult as it is now. People are listening and they're looking for something new. The other element, I want to go back to Hillary Clinton for just a second, the point that he made in terms of her being perceived as caustic. One of the things, and this is an example of where media has changed, one of the things that you saw just before the New Hampshire primary was that particular moment where she clearly got emotional talking about why she wanted to be president. And that was basically wall-to-wall cable for, 16, 20 hours. And it really did change the race. That's an example where the polling stopped on a Sunday. People saw that, and it reaches a lot of people. I mean, that's the thing. Within this country, if a major event happens, everybody knows about it within 24 hours. That's very different from the 80s and 90s. And you saw an example there of that particular piece of her personality emerging and people having a very favorable reaction to it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still wondering, David, people like us watch this stuff all the time. I mean, I got to admit, I watch too much. I go to too many blogs. I'm just fascinated by it, and I will be. I don't apologize for it. But I wonder if most people are paying much attention at all at this point. Are they? Will they?
Yes. Now, and just take a look at the turnout levels on both sides.
That's true.
Turnout has been extraordinarily high. As a Republican, it makes me a little nervous to see how much more on the Democratic side the turnout has jumped up because it's been larger increase than on the Republican side. But what you're seeing is a huge level of participation. Now, having said that, go back to 2004. Remember that the amount of people that voted in 2004 increased by 20% over 2000. That was a huge jump as well. And I think there are two elements here. One is it's a lot easier to get at political news because of cable, because of the Internet. Political information is a lot more consumable, a lot more easy to get at. Two, again, going back to the point I was making before, because of the right track, wrong track, people are engaged. When things are going wrong at this country, people want to figure out how do we fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they engage in that process. The combination of those two, I think what you've seen is if there's one sort of winner here, it's the sort of democratic process mm-hmm. in the sense that you're seeing a lot more participation.
Right, and that's only good, right? That's good.
Oh no, I absolutely couldn't agree more. I mean, I think whatever happens out of this, the fact that you have more people participating, more people having their voices heard,
right.
just the better off it is.
Yes, David Winston is our guest, and we're welcoming phone calls. He's responding to the Florida Republican primary primarily this hour because it took place yesterday, and it was a big win for John McCain, who, as reports are saying today, took a very large step toward winning the nomination. The Republican Party looks like they're going to make him the guy at the top. And so we're looking at what happened in Florida. Giuliani's leaving the race. And David is the president and founder of the Winston Group. He has worked on public policy and national policies and has worked as a political consultant with political campaigns for a number of years now, also served as senior leadership staff in Congress and as a senior fellow to a prominent Washington, D.C. think tank. Our phone number is 800. One line is open if you want to take it. 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
We asked them time and time and time again, and they just haven't gotten the job done. You see, Washington is fundamentally broken, and we're not going to change Washington by sending the same people back just to sit in different chairs.
Mitt Romney, of course, who did lose to John McCain yesterday in the Florida primary. 800-486-8655. We go to Larry from Milwaukee. Hi, Larry.
Good morning. Just a quick couple observations, maybe a couple comments. From what I understand, Senator Kennedy's backing for Obama came from what I understand, him directly confronting Bill Clinton about his attack on Obama and Bill Clinton's unwillingness to back off from that. I believe he was going to wait until the Democratic primaries were over in order for him to throw his support in anyone's direction. And I'm not totally 100% sure about that. But another observation I made about was Tim Russert's interview with John McCain on Sunday. And I noticed he kept bringing up the fact that he was talking about his economic education not being up to par with his national defense issues and all that other stuff. And one thing I'd like to bring out, a couple comments made about, you know, McCain getting a little bit left to center or left to right or whatever, is if we can't educate ourselves later in life and change our opinions and viewpoints, what are we as a human race? I mean, if we stick to our ideals that we had 20 years ago, and if people keep holding us to statements that we make in the past, and we're looking at the statement I believe John McCain made a couple of years back, what are we as far as individuals that understand and people that nitpick and hold people to ideas or viewpoints that they had mm-hmm. years back. Mm. And that's my comment. I'll take my question off the line. Thanks,
Larry, for the call. David?
Well, I think what you're seeing here is that initially, I think McCain and quite a few Republicans thought that the focus, and actually on the Democratic side as well, thought the focus of this election was going to be purely on Iraq. And so they sort of developed that side of their campaign mm-hmm. and the issue set a lot more. as you're looking toward this economic environment, you're also watching them, because again, every economic, I mean, this is different than what was being faced in 1980 when you had double digit inflation, double digit employment, I mean, a whole variety of different things going awry. That's different than what it is now. And so each situation requires a different approach. You may have, you know, principles that you approach them with, but, and I think what you're going to see here, both from whoever the Democrats are and on the Republican side, is this approach to how are we going to deal with this present economic situation. One of the things that I thought was interesting is typically the discourse has been, everybody thought that the campaigns would be defining this discourse in terms of what's happening in terms of the economy. And what happened this last week was, in fact, you saw the center of gravity actually be here in Washington, D.C., with John Boehner, who's the minority leader in the House, sitting down with Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker, and the administration, working through a potential stimulus package. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of an interesting contrast that the concept of Washington is broken, that actually the House leadership sort of saw that they want to not have that as a prevalent representation in the sense of they have their members running for reelection, sort of putting in the bipartisan effort and try to figure that out. But I think it's interesting that what you're watching in terms of this economic side is it's a different economic situation, and people are trying to figure out what their approach is at this point the board.
Right. A few comments, and we haven't heard his statement yet, and I must say that if it's true, I'm going to miss the guy's intensity and passion. He was running for some other reasons, I think. But John Edwards leaving the Democratic race, what will that mean?
I don't know. There were moments when Edwards seemed like he was naturally aligned with Obama, and there were other moments when he just seemed sort of naturally aligned with Hillary Clinton. You're right. There's an intensity that he brought to the race that was just it was entertaining to watch. It's nice to see somebody that is that engaged.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's clearly frustrated. He thought he would do better. Particularly in terms of some of the union support that he had in Iowa, I think his expectations were higher. But this campaign has really evolved into it. While he was engaging and interesting, it's really between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. He was becoming a diminishing role in terms of the part of that debate. And so I think that's what he's looking at and why he's getting out.
Yeah. So does it make a difference if he pushes, if he gives his support to either one of the front runners?
Oh, yeah, I would think so. I mean, because, again, while they were getting large percentages and were clearly well ahead of him, he was still getting a significant percentage. And at this point, either one can use the advantage.
Mm-hmm. Right. Gary is next from Chippewa Falls. Hi, Gary.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Good. Say, I guess when I look at this, the primary systems that we have, I guess some of the things, a couple of things that concern me is that it seems like these primaries, like the Democrats or Republicans, it doesn't matter, or Republicans, whoever it is, really are only looking to find who can win. I mean, it's like, who can win the election for us?
Well, sure they are. What else should they be looking at?
Wait a second. It's not about who can run the country the best.
Oh, okay. I see your point.
I think we kind of get caught up in this, you know, we got to get somebody that's going to win the election.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and then we can put our programs in place or our ideals in place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is best for the whole country? Not just, I mean, let's face it, it's 52 to 48% on the election a lot of times. And yet that 2 or 3 or 4% difference takes and dictates everything that everybody else has to take and live with for the next 4 or 8 years.
Yeah.
I mean, we go to the Midwest, we go to the East Coast, we go to the West Coast. Let's try a few primaries, and everybody else after that, we get to select from one or two people. It's frustrating for me as living in Wisconsin that, hey, I'd like to build a vote right away, find out, put my 2 cents worth in, and say, gee, who's the person I feel can best run this country? I vote both ways.
Mm-hmm.
I vote Republican or Democratic. I kind of try to look at the person, but it seems like that's all gone by the wayside in the politics today.
I don't know. Maybe it's different this time, David. What do you think?
Well, I think it has changed a little bit, although the frustration that Gary's sort of laying out there, I think is not uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
The sense of I'm not voting just simply for who's going to win. I want to vote for somebody who's going to get something done. But in this particular election, what you've seen is you've had a winner come out of a state. And while it's certainly been interesting, it hasn't driven the next state the way I think it has in previous cycles. I think what you've seen, one of the interesting things about having this huge February 5th Super Tuesday coming up where you've got 22 states up, is people have kept their powder dry a little bit longer. They've sort of stuck with their candidates a little bit longer than they might have, sort of giving them an opportunity. So we've been able to engage in that discussion, I think, a little bit more that Gary's talking about in terms of who's going to be the best leader. The other element to this too that I think is interesting, and again we'll it certainly worked on, seems to have developed on the Republican side. And again, McCain's a front runner. He hasn't won this, and so he still has a huge jump to get through here to be able to pull off the win, although it's clearly leaning his way. But to some degree, it's been interesting because he's been talking about this broader coalition. You've heard that from Obama as well. You may start hearing that from Clinton as well, because I think there's also another frustration that I think the last thing America wants in this next election is a 50.1 to 49.9
right.
result.
Right.
It's the sense of we want some level of consensus is probably true, but some sense of there's a broader coalition.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for the call, Gary. Good points. Greg is next from Stevens Point. Hi, Greg.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning. I wanted to offer a viewpoint for a comment that I haven't heard discussed lately in the media, and it's about the Hillary Clinton's candidacy. It seems to me if I was a Republican, I would want to run against Hillary Clinton because nothing motivates the Republican base than a Clinton candidacy. And I'm thinking if she were to become president, with all the talk of wanting unity, that she'd be an extremely polarizing figure as president.
David.
Well, I agree that Hillary Clinton winning the nomination would definitely fire up the Republican base. But the problem the Republicans face is not the base given the 2006 elections. In the 2006 elections, Republicans lost independents by an 18-point margin. 57 to 39. And if Republicans lose independents by that margin again, we'll see our representation, both the House and the Senate, significantly decrease. The challenge to Republicans is that their majority coalition sort of fell apart, and they've got to figure out how to put it together. And so while Hillary Clinton would certainly help in terms of the base, the onus is really more on the Republican Party. How do you rebuild that majority coalition initially put together by Reagan and then sustained by Newt? And that's the challenge. Hillary Clinton, like I said, helps with the base, but that's not the problem facing the Republican
Party.
Well,
you do that with McCain. What other candidate would do that?
I think McCain could certainly. I think Giuliani could have done that. I don't think that's out of the realm in terms of Romney as he begins to shift, particularly to this economic viewpoint. I think there's some candidates. I think at this point, McCain, when you just look at his numbers nationally in terms of what his favorables are nationally, which are pretty close to 60%, which is the best of the Republican candidates, he seems to represent the best opportunity here for that. I don't think the other ones aren't capable of doing, but he certainly has an advantage with very high favorables across the country.
Yeah, right. Gary from Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for answering my call here. The only thing I got a question about is, are any of these candidates talking about the price of fuel at all and getting rid of this OPEC regime that seems to be running this country lately?
I have to say, and I agree with you, I've been sort of surprised that we haven't had more conversation about gas prices and what are we going to do long term in terms of energy. There's been discussion on the Democratic side about the environment and what are we going to do about global warming, but there hasn't been this conversation about, because this is, I mean, gas prices, I mean, you want to talk about something hitting the family checkbook. Gas prices have been particularly difficult. Where are we going to go? And I have to agree with Gary. I've been sort of surprised that we haven't had a larger conversation about this. I don't know. That's not particularly satisfying to you, Gary. Sorry, but I kind of agree with you. So
they need to be about $3.05 a gallon, don't you think, before that happens? We're used to $2.90, $2.95 these days.
Not well, you... out here, we're up at about $3.25.
Are you really?
Yeah. So,
oh, my gosh, David.
Yeah, no. So it's a pretty shocking moment every time I fill up my car. I'd still – and again, okay, I'm going to age myself here. I remember when you could – pretty much fill up your tank for $5. don't repeat that to anybody.
Nobody heard that, David. Yeah, thanks for the call. Let's go to Craig from Onalaska. Hi, Craig.
Good morning.
Hi.
My comment is I consider myself an independent, and I feel that independents elect the individuals who are running for office, and I sometimes believe that the parties forget that. And when they're so partisan – they're forgetting that they're supposed to represent everybody when they're elected, not just their party.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I couldn't agree more. Looking back to the last election, when Republicans lost in the House and the Senate, it was that huge drop-off amongst independents, losing them by 18, that caused us to lose both the House and the Senate. Having said that, from the point that Republicans won with Newt in 94 through 2002, Republicans every year had carried the independent vote, granted small margins. In 2004 was the first time we had lost, and was only by a few points. That should have been a wake-up call to Republicans that they were beginning to have problems with independents. Instead, the strategy was, let's go for the base and crank out the base, and we didn't talk to independents. And what happened as a result, instead of losing them by three or four points, we lost them by 18, and that was the difference in the election.
Yeah. Thanks so much for the call. All right, let's go to one more call. We're almost out of time here. Laurel from Door County. Hi. Quickly, though. Hi. Laurel, are you there? All right, skip it. Now we are out of time. Sorry. David, thank you so much.
Kevin, it was a pleasure.
Yeah, always a pleasure to talk to you. We'll be in touch again as the year goes on.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. David Winston, this hour of the program, president and founder of the Winston Group, and we'll end with just a few comments from yesterday's victor in the Florida primary.
Friends, in one week, we will have as close to a national primary as we've ever had in this country. I intend to win it and be the nominee of our party.
John McCain, victory in Florida yesterday. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour, and thanks to Rhonda Fanning for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee, and thanks everybody for all of your calls and all your interest. I think it's true. There's a lot of interest on both sides, Republicans, Democrats. Everybody's involved. Not everybody, but a lot of people are. It's good. I'm Kathleen Dunn. We'll be with you again tomorrow at 9 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.